Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in our new room on this Sabbath. It's a high day, dear ones, for all of us on January 12, 2019. This is the continuation of our lesson 269, chapter 58, entitled Lazarus Comfort, Part 4. And also, we would like to welcome all the dear brethren that are either on the phone or on the iPad, in whatever technology. Welcome, and we are so glad that you are here to join us in the new room. Our opening hymn is entitled, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, and this is the hymn to our theme. And if any one of the dear brethren, if they know by now how to be able to operate the mic, they are welcome to be able to join. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? You light in the darkness you see. This life for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow sweet in the light of his glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Hallelujah. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. If any one of the little ones, mummies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, if we can all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts, little ones, as we come boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before thee, Lord, to give you thanks and praises on this blessed high Saturday, we pray, dear Lord, that all the little ones, mommies or daddies, and even our guests, those that are joining us in all the different technology, may be able to have a smooth transaction from the previous room to this one, dear one, that they can be able to not only participate, but to be edified. We ask forgiveness for all sin that has been done in this tabernacle, dear Lord. We pray that you may be able to be our heavenly guest and bring us all together, dear Lord, to not only partake of the communion, but also partake of the edifying of one another and the sharing of the message, and nothing may be lost. We thank you and we love you, dear Lord. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Our opening scripture to our study is taken from the book of John, chapter 11, verse 25 from the King James Version, and it reads, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, and all our guests, we will continue with part 4 of our lesson entitled, Lazarus Come Forth, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to read the following verses.
John 11:19 from King James Bible. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. John 11:20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house.
John 11:21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been in here, my brother had not died. John 11:22. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. John 11:23. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. John 11:24. Martha said unto him, I know that, that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Amen.
Praise the Lord, and good job, everyone. So today we will cover pages 529 through 530. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following paragraph.
In delaying to come to Lazarus, Christ had a purpose of mercy towards those who had not received him. He tarried that by raising Lazarus from the dead, he might give to his stubborn, unbelieving people another evidence that he was indeed the resurrection and the life. He was loath to give up all hope of the people, the poor, wandering sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Continue. In his mouth, he purposed to give them one more evidence that he was the restorer, the one who alone could bring life to immortality and immortality to life. This was to be an evidence that the priests could not misinterpret. This was the reason of his delay to going to Bethany. This was this crowning miracle. The raising of Lazarus was to set the seal of God. To set the seal of God on his own. Please help me. There is some picture on my iPad for the remaining few words. So may you help me to end? Thank you. God bless you.
No problem, dear brother. The ending is of his work and on his claim to divinity. Page 529, paragraph 1. So question, boys and girls, and mommies and daddies, and even our guests, what purpose did Christ have in his daily, in his delay, sorry, to come to Lazarus, and what did he tarry for in order to give his unbelieving people? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones.
He had a purpose of mercy towards those who had to who had not received him. He carried that by raising. He started by raising Lazarus from the dead. He might give to his stubborn, unbelieving people another advice that he was indeed the
resurrection and the life.
Desire of Ages, page 529. On his journey to Bethany, Jesus, according to his custom, ministered to the sick and the needy. Upon reaching the town, he sent a messenger to the sisters with the tidings of his arrival. Christ did not at once enter the house, but remained in a quiet place by the wayside. The great outward display observed by the Jews at the death of friends or relatives was not in harmony with the spirit of Christ. Next slide, please. Continuing, he heard the sound of wailing from the hired mourners, and he did not wish to meet the sisters in the scene of confusion. Among the mourning friends were relatives of the family, some of whom held high positions of responsibility in Jerusalem. Among these were some of Christ's bitterest enemies. Christ knew their purposes, and therefore he did not once make himself known. Desire of Ages, page 529, paragraph 2.
Amen. So we have another question there once. Why didn't Christ at once enter the house, but remain in a quiet place by the wayside? And why didn't he wish to meet the sister in the scene of confusion where the sounds of wailing was from the higher mourners? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones.
The great outward display observed by the Jews at the death of friends or relatives was not in harmony with the spirit of Christ. And among these were some of Christ's bitterest enemies. Christ knew their purposes, and therefore he did not at once make himself known.
Amen. And continuing, we are in Desire of Ages, page 529.
The message was given to Martha so quietly that others in the room did not hear. Absorbed in her grief, Mary did not hear the words. Rising at once, Martha went out to meet her Lord, but thinking that she had gone to the place where Lazarus was buried, Mary sat still in her sorrow, making no outcry.
Amen. So question, dear family, what did Mary not hear while absorbed in her grief? And what was the message given to her about, and what did she do afterward? If you know the answer, dear ones.
The message given to Martha so quietly others in the room did not hear. And Martha went out to meet her Lord, but thinking that she had gone to the place where Lazarus was burned, Mary sat still in her sorrow, making no outcry.
Martha hastened to meet Jesus, her heart agitated by conflicting emotions. In his expressive face, she read the same tenderness and love that had always been there. Her confidence in him was unbroken, but she thought of her dearly loved brother, whom Jesus also had loved. With grief surging in her heart because Christ had not come before, yet with hope that even now he would do something to comfort them, she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Over and over again, amid the tumult made by the mourners, the sisters had repeated these words. Desire of Ages, 529, paragraph 4.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, dear family, why did Martha read on Jesus' expressive face as she hastened to meet him with her heart agitated by conflicting emotions? And what did she say to him with grief surging in her heart because he had not come before? If you know the answer, dear ones.
In his expressive face, she read the same tenderness and love that had all always been there. And she said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Over and over again, amid the tumult made by the mourners, the sisters had repeated these words.
We are in Desire of Ages, page 529.
With human and divine pity, Jesus looked into her sorrowful, careworn face. Martha had no inclination to recount the past. All was expressed by the pathetic words, Lord, if thou hast been there, my brother had not died. And looking into that face of love, she added, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. God will give it thee. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Question, boys and girls and dear family, how did Jesus react to her question? And what words did she add looking into her Savior's face of love, if you know the answer, dear ones?
The answer is, with human and divine pity, Jesus looked into her sorrowful, careworn face. And she said, I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it.
Jesus encouraged her faith, saying, thy brother shall rise again. His answer was not intended to inspire hope for the immediate change. He carried Martha's thoughts beyond the present restoration of her brother and fixed them upon the resurrection of the just. Amen. This he did that she might see in the resurrection of Lazarus a pledge of the resurrection of all the righteous dead, and an assurance that it would be accomplished by the Savior's power. Desire of Ages, pages 530, paragraph 1. Martha answered, thy shall rise again in the last days. Sorry for those words missing, but because there is a picture for video, even if I remove video, it will show a darker part. I don't know how to do it, but may God help us to understand what is on.
Amen, and I stand in agreement, dear brother Joel. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, and all our guests. How did Jesus encourage her faith by not intending to inspire hope of an immediate change? And why did he do it? And what was her answer? If you know the answer, dear ones.
The answer is, thy brother shall rise again. He carried her thoughts beyond the present restoration of her brother and fixed them upon the resurrection of the just, and that she might see in the resurrection of Lazarus a pledge of the resurrection of all the righteous dead accomplished by his power. And she answered, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day.
Amen. So let's learn our last beautiful song together, dear ones, entitled Lest Ye Sorrow.
I do not want you to leave where I am, concerning the loss of the fall and the sea, lest you sorrow. Thank you.
who are alive, and remain there, would call me our Lord. I hope you can see those who are
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, I would like to thank everyone for the patience of trying to be able to learn the room. Thank you so much, dear Savior, for allowing us to go through it. And this is the section where we ask all the precious little one to come very close, because it's story time, and our dear brother Dick will be the one to narrate it.
Good morning, children, participants, some I see and some I just see a name. It's kind of nice to see faces because I'm not, but I can see them with the voices. All right, it's story time. Our beginning verse says discretion. That means you will know the difference between right and wrong. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Proverbs 2:11. By your choice words and a consistent course of action, by your propriety, that means how you speak and act, your earnest piety, you're a good Christian, makes a telling confession of your faith. It tells others that you are a Christian. Determined that Christ shall occupy the throne of the soul, soul temple, and lay your talents or abilities, that's whatever you can, you're able to do, without reserve at his feet to be employed in his service. Make it the law of your life from which no temptation or side interest shall cause you to turn. Make the law of your life to honor God. In this fast age, reeking with corruption. Now there's a set of words for you. Reeking with corruption means it's everywhere evil is. You are not safe unless you stand guarded. Virtue and modesty are rare. I, as followers of Christ, making an exalted profession, in other words, you say that you're sons and daughters of the King, Jesus Christ, to cherish the precious, priceless gem of modesty. This will guard virtue. One area where modesty is shown is in our dress. Holiness of heart will never lead to impure actions. The truth of heavenly origin never degrades the receiver. It doesn't make you look poorly or worldly. On the contrary, it sanctifies the believer, makes them more like Jesus, refines the taste, it makes you love that which is holy, elevates and ennobles him, and brings him into a close connection with Jesus. It leads him to regard the Apostle Paul's injunction or teaching to abstain from even the appearance of evil. In other words, if you say you're Christian, don't act or dress or eat like the world, because they're watching, lest his good should be evil spoken of. This is a subject to which we must give heed or listen. We must guard against the sins of this degenerate age. We must stand aloof or separate from everything that savors of undue familiarity. It is okay to hug and kiss your parents, your brothers and sisters, and your relatives, but not everybody else. Doing so is familiarity that is forbidden. Oh, and God condemns it. It is forbidden ground upon which it is unsafe to set our feet. In other words, don't do it. Every word and action should tend to elevate, refine, and ennoble the character. My good name is capital, or it has value, of far more value to me than gold and silver. Let me preserve it untarnished. Untarnished means don't do anything to give yourself a bad name. If you say you're a Christian, don't use bad or vulgar language. If men assail that name or say bad things about you, it shall not be because I have given them occasion to do so, but for the same reason that they spoke evil of Christ, because they hated the purity and holiness of his character, for it was a constant rebuke to them. Sons and Daughters of God, page 1. Discretion means that you know the difference between right and wrong. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Proverbs 2:11. And thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Brother Dick. Praise the Lord. So, dear ones, next week, by God's grace, we will continue with our review, part one of our lesson, Lazarus Comfort, part four. We are looking forward in the new room for the questions and comments, and also any kind of thoughts that you have. You can be able to either send it beforehand on Thursday or the latest Friday. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or our guests would like to close with prayer.
Maybe I'm Barcelona, and we are for sure we need for the closing prayer. Our most kind Father, we thank you at this particular juncture and the moment that we can come together in this format, in the fellowship, to praise you and honor you. Lord, We thank you for the blessings you promise unto those who gather on every Sabbath. Lord, we believe you are in our midst and we have received the blessings. As we continue to learn in this new chat room, Lord, we pray that you continue to touch the lips of those speaking to us, reading before us, that whatever they read and they speak may be of value for the edification of our souls. Lord, there are those who are on phones, those who may wish to listen at a later time after recording, Lord, bless them all. We know we are in the very, very last days of this earth's history. We pray that the blood of Jesus Christ may cleanse us, Lord. May we be fitted for the heavens to come. Loving Father, we thank you that you always provide every other privileges. When we thought we had lost hope to meet together in this format, you provided a more better way to see each other, meet and talk freely. Lord, may you sustain these new innovations and technologies that your word may go to all the world and all us, that all may hear, that many may have no excuse but to turn unto your good name, and may we bear fruits that all may know that you are a God working among us. May we enlighten this world with your word, Lord, as you come back to bring your eternity into this earth. May be among those who praise you forever. Lord, we thank you that you always listen to us, even before we pray, that you know whatever we want. Lord, give us whatever we want for your own glory. Lord, we pray especially for the Holy Spirit to guide us always in these last days, that we may stand before you and before the world as your very elect. Lord, we thank you. Be with us in these very last days as we continue to learn of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Dear ones, forgive me for the typo I was supposed to share. But next Sabbath, by God's grace, we're going to continue with part two review, and that will be on January. Let me just look at my calendar. The 19th, by God's grace. I hope and pray that everyone were blessed by the studies, dear ones, and also activity has been created for the whole family to be able to continue the dialogue on the lesson that we learned today. And may the Lord bless each and everyone, and may you all have a blessed rest of this high Sabbath. And God bless.